You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
We welcome you into the gym class at 3 past 3 on this Monday, April the 27th. Great to have you with us here today. Scott Unash from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, joined by Buttons here on the other side of the glass, our terrific producer today and every day. Mark Dukes joining me from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this warm but cloudy late April day. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope everybody did as well and took advantage of some very, very nice weather. It was kind of great to see and feel.
I dare say it may have been Chamber of Commerce weather, Mark. And a lot of people out there doing some yard work. Notice that. A lot of people out walking, a lot of people biking, still maintaining their social distances. And thank you to everybody for that. We do appreciate it. Everybody appreciates it out there as the fight against the COVID-19 and coronavirus continues, not only here in Eastern Iowa, but all over the world and all over the globe. We are presented by Hennings Financial here on the Gym Class program each and every day right here on KGYM. Thank you very much to them. And if you want to check out more with Hennings Financial, you can go to KGYMradio.com. Again, that is KGYMradio.com. Do appreciate that and everything that they do for us here on the Gym Class program each day, weekday from 3 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Going to talk to Blake Bolden. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. Blake, of course, is the director of the Drake Relays that were going to be contested last weekend. However, the coronavirus, the fight against that, took out the relays for this year. But the relays aren't officially canceled as of yet. They are still in the postponed sort of looking at it. Glass half full, if you will. So we'll talk about potential dates to have a Drake Relays for 2020. What does this mean as far as the economic impact is concerned for both Drake and Des Moines? And just everything. We'll do that with Blake Bolden coming up in a little bit. Draft finished up on Saturday. Several more Hawkeyes were taken. A good draft for Kirk Ferentz and his staff, and a good day today for Kirk Ferentz and his staff. We'll start there, Mark, because very good news for a class that is starting to be a top 10 class across the board, if you're a stargazer out there, as far as recruiting is concerned.
Yeah, Iowa's landed, got a commitment anyway, from David Davidkov, an offensive lineman from New Trier High School in Winnetka, Illinois. Big guy that considered LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, among others. And this comes on the heels of last week, Iowa getting a commitment from Bo Stevens, 6'6", 315-pound offensive lineman from Blue Springs, Missouri. And I think the Iowa coaching staff is really rejoicing during these times right now of getting these types of commitments. But I guess I would caution people, Scott. I can't help but remember in the mid-2000s, you remember this, when Iowa had 6 or 7 guys play in the, let's call it the Army All-American game or something like that.
Correct.
And one of them was Dan Doering, a 5-star offensive lineman. Dan, unfortunately, never saw the field, or hardly ever saw the field.
Well, Blake Larson, another example, the young man from Atlantic, Iowa, that was a huge recruit that Iowa brought in, and likewise, basically. And it's a very inexact science. We've all been down that road, especially as far as football is concerned. You can look very good, and it's even more inexact now because you can look great at for example, going from your college career to the pros in the Underwear Olympics in Indianapolis, and then Nobody takes a look at actually your game film and how you perform out there. And you may have long arms, whatever the case may be, but you can't block anybody, which is a little bit of a problem as far as football is concerned.
Yeah, I'm not dousing water on the fact that Iowa landed these two guys, especially Davidkov, who by all intents, everybody wanted him. So in that case, if everybody wanted him and you get him, that's a good thing, right?
Right.
You know, more times than not, these guys pan out, but there are those situations, which we outline, that just didn't come to fruition. And, you know, there's many as many guys who come as a one or two star or no star and end up, you know, a Marshall Yanda.
Bob Sanders.
NFL, so.
Bob Sanders, another good example.
Exactly. But if this guy was recruited by that many teams and that many high-profile teams, it's better he selected you than someone else.
319-366-1600. That is our text line here at KGYM. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line. If you would like to weigh in today, as far as recruiting news is concerned, can also talk about the draft. How did your team fare? How do you think they fare? Who should they have taken? Who did they take? And we can talk about the Iowans that were selected as well. As pretty much everybody did get selected that experts thought would be selected. And by the way, we will talk more draft tomorrow. Dan Schonk of Our Lad Scouting Service will join us, and we will put to bed the 2020 draft. First of all, kudos to the National Football League, because I thought it was very well done all 3 days. For the most part, no hitches that you can notice. A lot of people liked the way this draft was conducted. You didn't have all the rigmarole and the pomp and circumstance that you would especially would have had this year in front of Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was a trimmed down version of the draft, and I don't think it's going to end up this way each and every year, because there's just too many dollar signs involved in it. But I think for what the NFL did with everything surrounded by fighting the coronavirus, I think an A-plus to the National Football League.
Yeah, what you didn't have is Roger Goodell hugging the sawdust out of every player that came across the stage as if he'd known them his whole life. And that was important for players, I suppose, and whatnot. But Goodell operated from the basement of his home for a large part of the draft. And this got record television ratings. And I think me and several people expected there to be some glitches. But when you think about it, you had almost 200 different remotes and cameras from head coaches to general managers and players and their families and their living rooms, and to largely go off without a glitch. I mean, it was, I thought it was a great job by the NFL in terms of getting this on the air and being seen by, 55 million people over 3 days.
Just amazing.
Yeah, it was wildly successful.
It was. 319-366-1600, your team. How did they grade out? All the grades are in now, and they range from for your team anywhere from A-plus to a D, up and down the board, depending on who you are. Cajun Troy weighing in on the text line. Good to hear from you. We got Jameis. Yippee. And Troy misses hugging her friends. I would hug Goodell now, even. And I think people may not even be booing Roger Goodell as strenuously as they once did out there. But Goodell, I tell you what, I think Roger Goodell did a bang-up job, because not only was he up there, he usually just gives the first-round picks, and then he's done for the draft. But he went through the first three rounds for sure on Thursday and Friday. He was looking a little haggard at the end when he took to the lounger to start reading off names and things like that. But you know what? He was a trooper throughout and did a lot of things behind the scenes, and we learned that as far as Tristan Wirfs was concerned. They still had a little bit of the pomp and circumstance of everything that they would have gotten coming out of the green room, except without the big bear hug from the commish.
Yeah, as I said on Friday, I think the only thing to me was, and it usually is, the first round was too long. It took 4 hours to make 32 picks, and I just think it could be shortened a little bit. And then on the other hand, when you get into Saturday and rounds 4 through 7 of the draft, the picks go by so quickly that television had a hard time keeping up with them. Did okay with the scroll and whatnot, but kind of mixed in some features, and those were fine. But all in all, I have very little criticism of the coverage.
Nope, it was fantastic. It was fantastic out there. 319-366-1600. More news today, both as far as statewide is concerned and as far as the National Basketball Association is concerned. It sounds like the NBA is looking at possibly opening up their training centers coming up very quickly, even toward the weekend. Some reports of that coming out. The National Football League, there are many different scenarios out there, and one of those has the National Football League condensing their season, keeping it the same number of games, but condensing it, starting it in mid-October in front of fans and taking it through the end of February. We'll wait and see how this all plays out. Many different factors, as we have talked about, that will cover that, including college football. If kids are in school, is college football being played at that time? Is college football going to be moved back to the end of the National Football League season, perhaps, into February, March, and April? There's been talk about that as well. And we really have no concrete answers yet again. Yeah, raise your hand unless you're driving if you've heard that before said on this program or with Todd and Alex. And it will be great to have Alex back today on their show. It's, like I said, it's just a murky situation.
And will continue to be so. But I truly believe, and I talked to a friend of mine in Iowa City this morning who has been a longtime season ticket holder at Iowa. And we both agree that whether it's the high schools or the colleges, and this is not breaking much ground, but you've got to have college football and high school football for your athletics department to survive as in some semblance of what it is now. Everybody agrees you got to do it safely, and some states are going to be different than others. It's not even May yet, so we shall see how things proceed. But yeah, it's unknown territory right now. People's projections are just that right now, trying to put in place some plans for different scenarios. And I suppose that's wise, but we're just going to have to see what the next couple months bring.
319-366-1600. It's 16 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. 5786 on the text line. Eagles fan here. I really, really like the Jalen Hurts pick in the second round. I feel Doug Peterson, the head coach, is going to do a Taysom Hill type usage, but more in capital letters. Taysom Hill got paid, I believe, over the weekend pretty handsomely as well as a backup quarterback. Troy would know that a little bit more. Following her New Orleans Saints down there. Yes, 5786 loves that pick, but then you take a look at CBSSports.com and Pete Prisco in his analysis of each team. Worst pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. He really doesn't understand the pick of Jalen Hurts. That's why you got to wait a couple years before you I think you throw down any grades that really, really mean anything.
The same thing goes for Jordan Love going to the Packers. I think most people are criticizing that pick and saying why, when Rodgers has 3, 4, maybe even 5 years left. And, you know, he may turn out to be the next Rodgers. I have no idea. But at this point, I see no semblance of Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. And that's not a knock on the Packers. The Packers just seem to are the ones that picked him.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Hurts is the same way. There's varying opinions, and as you said, we'll get Dan Shronka's thoughts on that tomorrow during the gym class. He from ourlads.com. So, you know, I think there's a lot of players out there like that. And when it comes down to it, it's all about opportunities, especially for those guys who are in rounds 4 through 7. You take a Nate Stanley going to Minnesota. I think a decent situation because there's not much backup there behind Kirk Cousins. And I think Nate can probably compete for a backup spot or a practice squad position there. And then you have a guy like Julian Good-Jones from Cedar Rapids, Washington, an all Big 12 player on the offensive line for Iowa State. Didn't get drafted, but he's going to go to the Eagles and get an opportunity. It might be a long shot, but it's happened before that free agents perform. And it's one drawback this year is no OTAs, whatnot. You don't know how long these guys, especially the free agents, are going to have an opportunity to prove themselves. But my main point is it's all about opportunity, mainly in those later rounds in free agency.
It's better to be not taken, I think, late.
In some respects, but I think I talked about Nate Stanley. Not only is it close to his home, which isn't all that important, but the situation that is there, I think Mannion is the backup now. He's no great shakes.
No.
And I did read a lot of Twitter feed from Viking fans over the weekend about Stanley, and I have to say, while it was a mixed bag, a lot of folks didn't like the pick at all. And maybe because Nate Stanley's never lost in the state of Minnesota. I don't know.
Could be. Could be the case. 20 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Blake Bolton's going to join us, the director of the Drake Relays. We'll talk with him coming up here in just a couple of minutes. A little bit of basketball news to get to. We'll talk about that after we talk to Blake Bolton coming up in just a little bit as well. And yeah, there's speculation like we talked about as far as the start of the NFL season. Hopefully it will start on time, but contingency plans are being made. Earlier today, Governor Reynolds here in the state of Iowa at a news conference that took place at 11:30 today opened up basically sort of 77 counties in the state of Iowa. That's the good news. The bad news is around here, we don't see many of those counties. We're kind of eastern half of the state basically is still going to be closed. Those counties that are open now will have, even though they will still have guidelines, but restaurants are going to be allowed to reopen. Malls are going to be allowed to reopen, businesses. And again, these are with a little bit of not full force as of yet. 50% capacity, I believe, was the edict today. But like we said, a lot of those are in west central, far western Iowa, taking out Sioux City and Council Bluffs, those two areas. But a lot of those counties in Iowa have not really been affected by COVID-19. And so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Everybody else still has the regulations out there. And as far as meetings in more than groups of 10, that is still not looked on. It's frowned upon by the state of Iowa and Governor Reynolds.
I think that's through May 15th right now, I believe. And the 22 counties that didn't get the go-ahead, so to speak, from the governor today. But I don't understand, and I think it's going to be interesting to track, is what if you're in Linn County and go over to Jones County, which is quote-unquote open a little bit, or up to Buchanan County or Delaware, those counties surrounding Linn or bordering Linn. You're having people go from, much like from one state to another, you're going from county to county. And I think that's going to be something very interesting to follow as well.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But still no more than 10 in a group to congregate out there for the state of Iowa at events. So we'll, again, we'll see how it all plays out. 319-366-1600. Troy's birthday coming up in about a week and a half, Mark, and she may move her birthday to Jones County, she says.
She's a very creative woman.
Yes, she is. Sure. Yes, she is. Troy, if you have a virtual birthday, Mark and I are there for you. Mark and I are there for you. All right, we'll take a break, come back. 3:23 here on the Gym Class, and when we return, we're going to talk with the executive director of the Drake Relays, Blake Bolden. A very bittersweet weekend, and wouldn't you know it, Mark, that would have been a gorgeous weekend for the Drake Relays, finally.
Would have been picture perfect on Saturday anyway, that's for sure, but that's the way it goes, and I think Blake has some ideas as to you know, how folks can still enjoy the Drake Relays and look forward to the next version.
Yep, and we're going to talk with him about that when we return on the Gym Class for a Monday. Scott and Mark with you at 3:24. Back with more after this.
The term yoga in general kind of emulates community. I had the business plan in my head for years, but never really knew if I was going to be able to kind of take that leap. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I knew that the passion was going to make it not seem like work. Jupaka was really there for me, helping me kind of gain financial literacy. So that way, the day actually walk in the door, I had a really good score. Anything along the way that I did, I wanted to make sure that I was being smart about
I think it's okay.
I was doing it the best way possible. Everything from the
people are very judgmental,
and then the insurance of the business as well too. Dupaco really was a great guide and a resource for me getting this whole entire project off the ground. We've built an amazing community within Soul Revolution, and honestly,
I think everything's fine.
Done that without the help and support of Dupaco. There's been a couple of classes when I'll walk in, and especially when it's a busy room, and I start to get choked up. Those are the days when it's like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Your money for good. Learn more at tobacco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
At Network Computer Solutions, we understand these are unprecedented times. First, we hope you and your family are well. And second, we want you to know we are here and will continue to offer IT support. If you need remote access to your office, we can assist with that. We will be taking all recommended precautions to keep our employees safe and will provide remote assistance whenever possible. Call us at Network Computer Solutions, 319-247-7223.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
Being isolated from those you care about can be hard. Now, more than ever, you may want support. Turn to Your Life Iowa. We can help you through any challenge you may be facing with mental health, suicidal thoughts, alcohol, drugs, gambling, or more. With Your Life Iowa, you're never alone. Call, text, or chat with us online 24/7. Start at yourlifeiowa.org, where your everyday life support. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class, 3:27 here on KGYM. Scott and Mark with you. Buttons, our in-studio producer here today, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Thank you for weighing in. We're going to talk more about the draft coming up in a little bit. We'll also talk about the draft coming up tomorrow with Dan Shanka of Our Lads Scouting Service. And going to shift gears here momentarily and talk a little bit about what would have been an absolutely gorgeous weekend at Drake Stadium and the Drake Relays. And Blake Bolden joining us, the director of the Drake Relays. And doggone it, not only Blake, great to have you, by the way. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Great to hear your voice, Scott. I sure do wish. You know, I thought about both you and Mark when I was catching up with Mike Mahon early in April. You know, that first Thursday in April, you've always been very gracious in hosting us in your studio. And I sure do wish that I could have had the chance to see you both earlier this month.
Yeah, and it would have been even more that we could have had the 2020 edition of the relays last weekend anyway, because, boy, you don't get many weekends like that in April. Boy, Saturday would have been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Saturday was absolutely fantastic, and most of the week was, and even Sunday. Just unfortunately, I think most Iowans have been forced to spend some time at home, and we just haven't got a chance to celebrate those annual traditions. So that's the first time in more than 11 decades that we didn't have that event and that time for Iowans and athletes from across the country and around the world to get together to celebrate athletic achievement and spend that time together. And really, it is part of our fabric as Iowans and in our culture. So it's certainly was a missed event. I mean, we've had some beautiful days at the Drake Relays, not many of them recently, and this weekend really would have changed that narrative because the weather was so incredible. So, you know, we missed the events, we missed the champions, we missed the records, but I think most of all, what we missed was each other.
Blake, am I correct that the event is postponed and not canceled?
That's exactly right. You know, we're working certainly following the instruction of state and local officials, so Des Moines and Governor Reynolds. The announcement today is encouraging to see that some business will be able to reopen around the state, certainly excluding some counties, including Des Moines here in Polk County. We're encouraged to see that, but we remain thoughtful for all of those who have combated this illness, either having been ill themselves or maybe had a family member that was sick, or and probably as much as those folks, those medical professionals and even retail workers that do everything they can to keep our not only keep us all healthy and safe, but keep our economy moving. So we're thoughtful of all those folks, but at the same time, being very diligent in doing everything we can to be prepared should normal routine resume here in the state of Iowa and across the U.S.
Yeah, and that brings up a lot of questions, as you are probably dealing with every day, Blake. But, obviously the spring season as far as collegiate athletics has been canceled. I guess what do you do if the relays can be held? What do you do with the collegians? Do you wait till the fall? Is it going to be just the professionals that come in? A lot of questions that are still out there.
No, that's exactly right. And as you said, I've unlike you and your listeners, I have the advantage of thinking about those questions and building contingency plans for any number of scenarios. I sometimes have a hard time, particularly at times like this with so much stress and uncertainty. I have a hard time shutting my brain off. So I've thought about a lot of this and a lot of different scenarios. And simply put, everything's under consideration. We certainly won't make any plans formally or publicly until we know it's safe to resume normal activity. And so that's fundamental. We do not want to risk the health or safety of any of our athletes, coaches, officials, or fans. But when I think of how we're doing this, we're in weekly conversations with both the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Iowa Girls Athletics Union, in addition to representatives from USA Track and Field and the NCAA, and then also internationally, we're in direct contact with the governing body over the northern half of the Western Hemisphere. It's known as NACAC, North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. It represents 31 countries. And the Secretary General of NACAC 2 weeks ago assured me that if any meat production company or any meat director in that area, so 31 countries, we stood to be the very most well prepared. So we're in a good position for a rescheduled event. So that's at the international level and those elites. And then if and when we're able to reschedule, that will be a centerpiece. But as you guys know, when I come up there, we're talking about the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones as much as we are the pros, or actually the Panthers, too. And some of the coaches are elite-level athletes as well. And the great Bulldogs here in Des Moines. So we will certainly remain committed to hosting university division athletes, and the high school division is the heart and soul. The only reason we don't talk about it on the radio is because I work at an NCAA institution, and I can't talk about high school kids per NCAA rules, but that's really the heart and soul of the Drake Relays and has been since World War II. And maybe not the heart and soul, but when you compare the university division and the college division, I know Bob Earhart called that the meat and potatoes of the Drake Relays. That was the ninth director of the Drake Relays, had the longest tenure for nearly 30 years into the 21st century. The last 30 years of the 20th century, he was our director. So we will do all we can to host some version of that competition for those athletes. Now, certainly, when August 1st comes, those students that are currently high school seniors will no longer be available or eligible for high school competition. And then similarly for colleges, those seniors that without a spring season, if they move on in life, they may not be able to compete for their college again. But any athlete that has interest in competing under the new format and is able to, we certainly do all we can to accommodate and build out a very robust competition schedule. So I know there are some listeners over in Eastern Iowa who not only as spectators enjoy the Masters 800, but I know there are some 40-year-old former collegiate runners that live over in Cedar Rapids and in the Cedar Valley that they target the Masters 800. So when we look at that event, that's certainly an event that we would intend to bring to life this year. And then, of course, those other partners, those community partners and some other, call them special invitational or special exhibition events. So our partnership with Paralympics in regular conversations with USA Paralympic athletes and then their head coach at the Chula Vista Training Center out in California, but then also locally, Special Olympics Iowa. As soon as they're able to return to normal activities, we certainly would love to host their best athletes alongside the world's best, and Iowa's best, and the NCAA's best. So we don't know what the format looks like, and we don't know yet what the time is, but it is certainly something that we remain optimistic, and with that optimism at our core, we're diligent in doing all we can to prepare the details.
Blake, in the absence of competition, I know you've used various social media platforms to reach out to fans and let them enjoy, various things. Talk about what you're doing there.
Yeah, the last week was, for one, it was inspiring. And then two, it was exhausting, at least for me. we encouraged athletes and participants and fans from around the world to engage with any number of things. We had some polls, we had some trivia, we encouraged people to go for a run to commemorate what would have been the Drake Road Races. We didn't do a virtual run, meaning we didn't medal any shirts or medal, we didn't mail any shirts or finisher medals, because we still hope to host. And we're, like I said, we're doing everything we can to host all of our events. So the Grand Blue Mile, and we encourage people to commemorate that. And among the many commemorations, the thing that really I had a sense that it was going to be a big week. Last Sunday, so a week ago yesterday, there was a gentleman in Des Moines who ran a marathon in his apartment to kick off Drake Relays Week and raise funds for local COVID-19 relief. So when I saw that, he broadcast live on YouTube. I just knew it was going to be a special week. So then we continued to ramp up our efforts. And during the week, I hosted interviews with they're really conversations. I wouldn't fancy myself a journalist, but just conversations with the two other living previous directors of the Drake Relays, Mark Kostick, who is the 10th director, and then Brian Brown, who is my immediate predecessor. And we got those on social media, YouTube, and on our Facebook platforms. I also talked with Pitch Johnson, he's 92. His dad was the director of the Drake Relays through the 1930s, and he remains a loyal and committed supporter. And he shared memories of actually, you guys will love this as radio professionals. She shared a wonderful story about getting to know the guy that did the WHO broadcast, how he described him. His name happened to be Dutch Reagan. He talked about that personal relationship he built with Dutch, hanging out at Drake Stadium during the Drake Relays. And then after he moved to California to pursue a Hollywood career, he, his dad, who is the director of the Drake Relays and the Drake track and field coach, he, his dad, and the Drake track and field team drove out to see Ronald Reagan in California and visit him. And he laughed because he said, yeah, we had to drive. Back then, when I was a kid, there weren't airplanes. Hmm. And so, you know, that's how long the Drake Relays has been a core tradition for us here in Iowa, is that it predates airplanes, for Christ's sake.
Man alive. Been around a long, long time, no doubt. And, of course, you mentioned the Girls High School Athletic Union and the Boys Iowa High School Athletic Association. And unfortunately, track season will not go off this year for both the boys and the girls. And, you know, that's a big loss for you guys over there, because that is just – it's a wonderful meet, the co-ed meet over there. And how are you guys coping with that?
Well, you know, that's a big loss for everybody in the state. You know, and the same with, you know, not to trivialize the other spring sports, the sport of track and field is certainly near and dear to me. And again, as I say every time we talk, it's the track and sport of track and field, a lot like wrestling in the winter season. They're part of who we are in Iowa, and it is a loss. And the thing that I think it hits me personally the hardest is my senior year, I got a chance to run at the state meet, and I got to win a state title, and it was a big breakthrough for me. And it really, I don't know how it would have changed my life if I hadn't had that opportunity. I don't know if I would have gone to college to run, and I don't know certainly if I would have ever run professionally. I don't know if I would have been a sub-4-minute miler. I don't know if I'd be the director of the Drake Relays, really, even at its core. So just looking at, for me, on how that experience in Drake Stadium as a high school senior changed my life, I just wonder how many other kids and what trajectory. And certainly everyone's going to live the lives they've been given and make the most of them. And certainly there will be other big events in the future, and life will go on. But I just know personally for me, I can only imagine how much my path in life would have felt differently if I hadn't had that experience.
Well, you do have a beautiful bulldog this year, don't you, Blake?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, see, Mark, that's what I love about you. You remember what's important. That's a good one, because that's one of those things. We love track and field, and we talk about all of our events. But that one, we were able to host virtually. So on Tuesday of last week, we did crown through a virtual voting contest. And I'm a little fuzzy on those memories, or on the numbers, because I think we had on the final round of voting, it was upwards of 80,000 votes cast. But certainly it was something that people statewide, but clearly Bulldog owners and Bulldog fans around the world, and probably just pet owners that were looking for something fun to engage in around the world, really got involved and had a lot of fun that day. And so we did a lot like that. Last week, not everything did we crown a champion, which we were able to do in the most beautiful Bulldog contest. But then beginning on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so for those 4 days, I hosted 23 different elite athletes in live Instagram interviews, like question and answers. Went back and forth with truly the biggest track and field stars in the world. 23 athletes, 16 of them were Olympians, 10 of them Olympic medalists. So really and truly, and I think we had two world record holders, and I think 6 American record holders. That included Luke Sawinski from over in Iowa City, Shelby Houlihan and Carissa Schweitzer both joined us from where they're training out on the West Coast. The world record holder in the 110 hurdles, Aries Merritt, the 100 hurdles record holder, Kenny Harrison. And they shared, you know, one of the questions that I asked all of them was to share some inspiration or some advice for these high school seniors that missed this season and share some advice and inspiration for us all. Like, how are you staying so positive during this time? You know, and it was a really uplifting time for me, but also for our fans. And we had, it was really fun because I got to see the comments throughout, and anybody could watch rewatch the replay and see the comments, I'm sure, either on Instagram or we posted many of those already on our YouTube page from Drake Athletics. But there were, in each of them, there were people from around the world commenting, hello from India, hi from Hungary, hi from Argentina. You know, so just truly we were able to, for 4 days, take the Drake relays to the world despite not having a track meet.
Yeah. Taking a look at things, I guess if there is a silver lining, with the Olympics being postponed from this year until 2021, an opportunity for you guys at Drake to have maybe the world's best come, maybe even twice if you get the Drake relays in 2020. But certainly I would think in the spring of 2021, you're going to have a star-studded opportunity.
There's no doubt about it, you know, and since the last time I got a chance to catch up with you guys and really the world has changed upside down, turned upside down in the last month, 6 weeks. But on March 11th, we had one of the biggest announcements, at least at that time. I felt it was one of the more significant announcements in the 110-year history of the Drake Relays, in that certainly we had secured a new presenting sponsor. Mediacom has come on board to really sustain our event and move us forward. But alongside that, we announced that we had attained silver level status on the inaugural World Athletics Continental Tour. So I know that's a mouthful, but basically the very short version of this is 18 months ago, the International Olympic Committee and World Athletics, which is the international governing body for our sport of track and field, announced a new Olympic qualifying procedure, meaning that it would no longer be simply based on times. It would be as much based on times to attain an Olympic qualifier as it would be world rankings. And the only way to gain world ranking points is to compete in permitted events on the World Athletics Tours. So, long story short, because as you guys know, you follow golf, you follow tennis, they have an advantage if they have a, quote, world number one. And then world number one, and you have rankings based on your play in international tournaments. Well, track has never had that. It's been a challenge. We have the world record holder. We may have the reigning Olympic champion or the reigning world champion, but there's never been a world ranking system. So this change and our placement on this new tour completely changed and elevated our position for athletes who are hoping to qualify for the Olympics, particularly certainly American athletes, but particularly athletes outside of the U.S. And it had immediately, by the time we'd announced it, it had already significantly elevated the interest from athletes around the world in the Drake Relays. And it becomes even more interesting that if you're an Iowa Hawkeye or a Houston Cougar down in Texas or you know, a Kentucky Wildcat, there's only one meet in the collegiate system that had that distinction. We were the first meet in the U.S. So if you were an athlete, no matter your nationality, and you were in the NCAA system and you wanted to compete in the Olympics or qualify for the Olympics, our meet became the best in the country for you and really the only in the country for you. So it was about to be a huge shift for us. And then, of course, you know, within 24 hours or 36 hours, we saw the NCAA basketball season and spring sports completely come to a halt. And then the world just continued to change minute by minute and day by day. And here we are now almost in May, still standing in that same place we were 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And well, Blake, hey, appreciate the time, and hopefully we got a Drake Relays to talk about this year, and certainly I know it's going to be a great one in 2021, and all looking forward to that. But enjoy the time, and stay safe over there in Des Moines. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, likewise. And hey, thanks to you two both for bringing some sense of normalcy to us all. So thanks for talking sports and helping us find the highlights. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it. Blake Bolden, the executive director of the Drake Relay, is joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:48 on a Monday. We'll take a break, come back. There's some college basketball news to discuss, and we'll do that when we return. All right, after this, Gym Class presented by Hennings Financial right here on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not.
Yes.
Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd
yes.
be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Economic stimulus payments will
Is
be hitting
good?
Your bank account soon. In fact, nearly $200 million will be coming to area households. You might need that money for rent, mortgage, utilities, even food. But if you don't, KGYM encourages you to think of the thousands of local businesses being impacted right now. Waiting to spend those dollars at your favorite place when we're all on the move again? That'll be a huge boost for them and our economy. If you don't need it for necessities, save your stimulus and shop locally. It could mean millions of dollars for the corridor.
The folks at Odor Eaters want to express our deep appreciation for the healthcare professionals, first responders, and essential business employees who continue to do so much to take care of the rest of us. To all of you working harder and longer days, if our products can help make the days ahead a little more bearable, you can find them in stores and online at Walmart, Target, CVS, or other fine retailers. Thank you. Stay healthy and safe. The Last Dance, a 10-part documentary series on the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 90s. Tune in Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Immediately following the broadcast, check out Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show, presented by AT&T for episode reaction. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, when you buy a new device, AT&T is offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup, along with a flexible return policy so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. Visit att.com to learn more. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for our spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, wiper blades, brake kits, and more. Ready for an oil change? Get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional or Max Life motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $28.99. Plus, get a $7 gift card after mail-in rebate. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
3:51, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott and Mark with you. Our thanks to Blake Bolden for joining us. Good conversation with Blake, the executive director of the Drake Relays. If you missed any part of that, we will have our podcast up and available to you at KGYMradio.com here in just a little bit. And talked a little bit about the draft. More on the draft coming up with Todd and Alex. We welcome back Alex with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. NFL Classic Football coming up tonight right here on KGYM at 7 o'clock. 107.5, Jim O.T., 106.3 in Iowa City. It'll be Super Bowl 32, Denver and Green Bay will be rebroadcast tonight starting at 7 o'clock. A lot of football. We'll get to more football because Mark is itching to get to this. We'll get to it in a moment. But a little bit of college basketball news from the weekend, Mark. Joe Wieskamp, who last year after the season, after his first season at the University of Iowa, put his name into the NBA draft to be evaluated, eventually came out of the draft, returned to Iowa. He made the announcement over the weekend that he will not be going through that process this year. You can only do it twice, and he is not going to seek that this year. And, of course, a lot of people speculated on the fact that since his year did not end personally with a flourish. Perhaps it was not a good timing for him to put his name into the NBA draft. If that had a part in it, who knows? But anyway, Joe Wieskamp's going to be back next year shooting threes for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I think, Scott, it might be a little combination of the fact that Joe didn't have the season he or others might have hoped for, and also the really awkward nature of what the evaluation process is going to be this year. I think so anyway, unless something changes, that, you know, typically these guys work out for different teams and whatnot, and with all the social distancing and whatnot, and that's not going to happen. Granted, you have plenty of tape on these guys, but it's not the process that has been in the past. Luka Garza going through it right now, and now a player at UNI, Scott.
A.J. Green made the announcement over the weekend that he is going to go put his name at least into the draft, be evaluated. Green just completing his sophomore season for Ben Jacobson and the UNI Panthers, was a Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. Same situation with Luka Garza, according to AJ. That is, he will be back in Cedar Falls unless some team just basically falls head over heels in love with his game and promises they will make him a first-round draft choice. If not, then AJ is going to be back. And again, why not? You're going to be evaluated. They're going to tell you what you do well, what you don't do well. He already says, you know, I know I have to play better defense. And he knows that right out of the chute. And the NBA evaluators, if they get an opportunity, they will also more than likely tell him that situation. But I foresee A.J. Green. I don't see a scenario where A.J. Green stays in the draft this year.
I don't either. And put simply, why not take advantage of the opportunity? Plain and simple.
Yeah, true. And that's what A.J. Green is going to do. We just got done with the 2020 draft. Mark, we're talking 2021 draft for the NFL. Yeah, and a lot of speculation out there. And this is more for fun than anything. As Trevor Lawrence is right now looked at as the number one draft choice. The quarterback coming out of Clemson that he would leave after his third year for the Clemson Tigers and probably another trip to the Final Four, we shall see. You are more intrigued with what? A pick a little bit down the line as far as a quarterback is concerned.
Well, I landed on pick 14 in the first round, and that was none other than Iowa State quarterback Brock Purdy, who I think will be a sophomore next year, right? Or junior.
I would have to double check on that, but he would be draft eligible.
Well, for two reasons. Number one, Ryan Wilson, who did this story for CBS Sports and did the mock draft, thinks very highly of Purdy. And number two, where does he have him pegged to go? The Chicago Bears.
Another quarterback.
Well, they don't have as many quarterbacks as tight ends, but I found that interesting. And also that Iowa lineman Alaric Jackson didn't show up in this first round either. But you know what? This is silly stuff. But it's the talking point these days on shows like this.
It is. And it, like you said, that and a cup of coffee will get you so far down the line anyway. But, yeah, 2021 draft already being looked at, even though we haven't had a 2020 college football or professional football season yet. So we'll see. Talking about professional football, Dan Shonka of Arlad Scouting Service, our friend, will join us tomorrow. We'll go over the winners and maybe not so winners of the 2020 draft, at least to this point anyway, and who took some big swings and who got people that fell right into their laps. A lot of people saying A.J. Epenesa fell into the lap of the Buffalo Bills, and we'll see. We'll talk with him coming up on the program tomorrow. Mark, you have a very, very good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
You do. Sounds good.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. KGYM.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now you can